explicit violence in your writings?
It's what I do, is one answer. I write horror fiction. There is a kind of curiosity that we have as human beings about our life processes. One of our last life processes is death. It's a legitimate subject for curiosity. We shouldn't be ashamed that the macabre or the morbid exercises some fascination upon us. I tell it like it is. If it's there in my mind's eye, I put it on the page. And that seems to me to be a legitimate way to write.
Welcome, everyone, to Written in Red, the horror reader and writers podcast. And on this episode, we're going to be discussing an awesome indie horror author, Elizabeth Bedlam. And we're going to be talking about some of our favorite bloggers around the area for horror and bizarro fiction. But first, let us introduce ourselves. I am extreme horror splatterpunk author Daniel J. Volpe. My books include Billy Silver, Awaken in Blood, and Talia. I'm also here with three other extreme horror authors, one of which is the awesome author Aaron Beauregard.
Thanks for having me, guys. Aaron Beauregard here. Splatterpunk nominated horror author of The Slob, Wedding Day Massacre, Yellow, Dark Assembly, and many other abominations.
And we also have Carver Pike.
Hey, everybody. Carver Pike here, Splatterpunk Award nominated author of Slaughterbox. I've also written the parasitic head lice book Scalp and Grad Night and a few others.
And of course, the Ageless Wonder, Roland Bercy Jr.
Hey, everybody. Roland Bercy, author of an Unportion, winner of the 2020 American Fiction Awards. It's going to be on a big screen soon. Y'all mark my words. Author of Payback as a Witch and Pre-Thanksgiving Stress Disorder.
All right, everyone. That's the four of us here. We're here for, I believe, episode 6 of this little project we have. On episode 5, we discussed indie author Dustin LaValle, some of his books, 12-gauge Songs from the Street Sweeper, and A Soundless Dawn. So if you missed that episode, go back and check it out. Me and the guys also discussed Can I Write? Or as it kind of turned into, Should I Write? A great episode. We covered a lot of things. Will I Write? Red Fish, Blue Fish. So that was a really fun episode. I had a blast doing that with you guys, and I think we got a lot of great content. If you are new to the writing scene and you have some questions, we definitely went over a lot of pertinent stuff regarding self-publishing, some small press stuff, editing, and whatnot. So that was kind of an encompassing episode. We did our reader shout-outs at the end. So if you missed that episode, go back and check it out. If you want to hear more about us as individuals, you can also check out episodes 1 through 4, where we highlight each of us will pick a book that we brought us into the world of horror, and we do interviews. So check those out. And as always, we are available on Spotify, iTunes, and again, if you want to see our beautiful faces, YouTube for the video. Yes, there's Aaron.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. Guys, anything to add before we get into our first topic here?
I would say also you did mention that we answered a lot of questions last episode. However, we didn't answer the mailbag questions, and we want to let you guys know that we got a bunch of those on tap for the end, towards the tail end of the show today.
Absolutely, yeah. You can see Carver in the video here has his little creepy little mug thing that contains souls of innocent people, innocent souls, whatever.
That's a great and,
a mixture of sperm and hashish.
Yeah, definitely. That's called a West Virginia wine cooler. So he's going to be sharing that with us later on. All right, we ready to move on with our first part of the show here.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, so at the beginning of every show, we like to try to spotlight a horror author that maybe is under, not as well known, some of their work that we've read and just really enjoyed. And for this week's episode, or this week, or this episode, whatever you want to say. I have chosen a phenomenal author that a lot of people really, she's kind of flown under the radar, and that is Elizabeth Bedlam. Elizabeth Bedlam was kind of brought to light because I'm sharing an anthology with her, and actually Aaron's in that anthology as well. And I had never even heard of her until I saw her on the email list, and I reached out to her and kind of just said, hey, you know, what's up? Nice to meet you. And, you know, we're going to be doing this anthology together. And she was super nice, very receptive. I went out and bought a couple of her short story collections. I think the first book I read was called Digger Deep. And it is about a necrophiliac undertaker, or not an undertaker. Yeah, I guess a grave digger. Really creepy story. And from there, I was just hooked. She's got a really smooth writing style. She does mental health, you know, and her characters very well. It's a little too well. She just writes very well with that stuff. She does have violence and some sexual stuff, but when it happens, it happens in a big way. So I just want to highlight a couple of her books that I have sitting here. Her novella, probably my favorite one that she's put out, Hello, Old Friend. This is a great one, especially for writers, because this follows a writer named Eve as she is spiraling rapidly into madness. She gets a self-help program. Then the opening lines in that self-help program are, Hello, Old Friend. And it starts off weird, and it just gets fucking crazy. And then, like I said, when Elizabeth Bedlam throws violence in there, there's not a lot of it, but when it happens in a big, big way. So definitely check this out. This is on Amazon, an ebook and in paperback.
See, that's the way violence. That's the way violence should be done sometimes, though, right? Like, you hold it out, and then boom, Bedlam, so to speak.
Bedlam.
I love the name Bedlam. It's such a fucking awesome name, dude. It's great.
It's awesome, and she's very like. If you follow her on Facebook, just on Instagram, she puts a lot of like cryptic, weird shit out there, like a lot of pictures and stuff. And a lot of, you know, like her author picture, like on this, it's kind of, you know, just side of her face almost. On this book, it's like some old Victorian woman. So she's definitely an enigma.
She's been alive for a while, you know?
Yeah, I think she might be maybe slightly older than Roland, but I'm not sure. The second book of hers I just want to talk about briefly is Scrape. So Scrape is fucked up, and I'll tell you why it's fucked up.
I like that title, man. Scrape. Just the fucking title.
She's got great titles, and her cover art, I don't know if she does it herself, but it's just this very vibrant, like, kind of colors and just weird overlays of certain just images. Like on the cover of Scrape, it's a hanger and a picture of a cat, and then it looks like a blood stain. So I'm sure, Aaron, you can probably throw up in the graphics, but this book is about fucking back alley abortions and the money being made on back alley abortions. And
you're speaking Roland's language now.
Yeah. Roland perked up there.
Yeah. You killing a baby? Roland Bursey's on the scene. Yeah.
So this book is about back alley abortions, of really fucked up mother son relationship, which I know Carver always throws incest in every episode. So just want to point that out for him.
No incest.
just a really cool little novella. And the last one I'll talk about briefly is a couple short stories. And again, another phenomenal title, Pus and Lust. And if you could see this, this young lady looking into her undies there.
How romantic.
It's what date night's about. But you could tell, like, she has a very vibrant, you know, bright kind of cover here. This collection has story Cat Scratch Fever, which if you can kind of take a guess of what they're scratching. You'll figure that out pretty quickly.
Kittens?
Kittens. aggressively scratching kittens. Worm Boy. Probably the most wretched, disgusting story I've ever read is one titled Rolling in the Sun. So if you only buy this book for that story alone, it's worth it. If you could find just that story by itself on Amazon, Rolling the Sun, it was like nauseating. It was so disgusting. And her delivery with her writing is just, it's just great. So definitely check her out, Elizabeth Bedlam, on Amazon. She does have a website. I think it's right here. It's just elizabethbedlam.com. She has a lot of her stuff on there. She's open for emails. She has that on there as well, that she, you know, wants you to correspond with her. And again, on Instagram, just follow her there. She's definitely somebody to look out for. I think she's definitely a dark horse in our genre, because she's not very vocal. She's not out there. Even on the back of her book, she doesn't even have, like, you know, she very rarely even has like descriptions. She's kind of one of those hidden treasures that I want to see get some more attention. So yeah, definitely check her out, Elizabeth Bedlam.
Yeah, when I was on Regina Watts's show there one time, that she was talking about Bedlam, and she relayed a funny story. I hope I get it right, but it was something along the lines of, like, we were talking about book banning and sort of some of our fears around book banning, and just that, like, if you say certain, like, sexual sort of deviancy in a certain way, you know, like if the woman in the story is under control or doesn't like what's happening, that could be a reason why your book gets banned, or they pull it and they make you, you know, change something. So basically there was some fucking horrific scene where this thing is happening to this woman. And then, like, I guess it got banned from what Regina said. And she just went into the book and then put at the very end of it, and she liked it, and then resubmitted it. And then it went through again. That's what she said. Anyway, I just thought the fucking story was awesome. And I was like, yeah, dude, Bedlam.
I hate to steal out to take away from that, but I was thinking that, like, a while back when I was writing erotica, a porn director reached out to me and wanted to know if I wanted to write some scripts for, like, her upcoming movies. And she started telling me she worked for one of the bigger companies. I probably shouldn't say it, like, on here, but they had so many rules and stipulations, man. And she was telling me that she's like, you can't even have a husband, like, start to do stuff with a wife that's asleep, because it's not considered consensual. And, like, you can, they'll rip it down, or they won't accept it. And I was just like, in the end, I turned it down, because I was just like, there were so many rules and stuff, and I just didn't have time. But,
like, listen, no incest, fuck you guys. You know what? Go fuck yourself. And
this is West Virginia.
For anyone who hasn't listened to the last two episodes, they're like, I'm sick, motherfucker.
I thought for sure when you said a porn director called you, I thought they were looking for Roland's number. So you get out there. Doing his thing with his red sheets here, ready to roll.
Hello.
Definitely, like I said, if you guys get a chance, the listeners out there, check out elizabethbedlam.com and follow her on Instagram and read her shit. It's good. You'll like it. If you like sick, perverted shit, then she's definitely for you.
And if you read if you read that line that says she liked it, just remember she didn't like it.
No, she didn't. She was forced to like it.
Start typing. I wrote Elizabeth Bedlam over here on the side, so I can look it up. So
right, it's like you could just put a winky face at the end of the text every time. She liked it, you know. That's good stuff, though. So that was a great spotlight. I think Bedlam is definitely someone that people should check out more. I'm gonna check it out for sure too. I reached out to her and said hi, because I knew we were going to be doing this anthology coming up. Just a very cordial, professional, nice person. So I got nothing but good things to say, and best wishes on the future books. But let's get into the second part of the show, where we're going to be talking a little bit about promoting your books. So really what we wanted to do, though, because as we alluded to in last episode, right, we were talking about sort of creating an arc about how, you know, the writing process. And we started it with how, you know, can I write, right? And so in upcoming weeks, we're hoping to sort of give you a little bit of an outline as to some of the other, how it's going to progress with these upcoming episodes. But this week, we thought it was important to recognize some bloggers and reviewers. And then, as we talked about, right, we also want to have horror authors on the show. But we do want to make sure that we've got a good, solid listening audience and that we've put forth some material first before we start having people on. That way it's as fruitful for these authors as possible when we do have them on to interview and they get maximum exposure. So if you're a horror author that has emailed us, you know, don't worry. We have that stuff. We should have responded to you, but you know, we will follow up, but we want to make sure that we're in the right position before we spotlight you, you know, with an interview, if you're going to take that time and come and see us. But so today, right, we've got a few mentions that we want to make about different blogs. And these are all people that, you know, they don't get paid to do this. They do this because they love horror. They love the horror community. And they want to see people like us and people like our peers succeed because, you know, either, you know, they believe in our work typically, right? That's usually what it is. And there's also a sense of camaraderie, you know. We also are friends with a lot of different people. And if a lot of, actually, I will say the people that I'm going to mention, I was not friends with them until they mentioned my work. I just wasn't aware of them. You know what I mean? But then as they mentioned my work, I sort of reached out to them and, you know, thanked them. And, you know, as you want to do, if someone's going out of their way to spotlight you, I think that should be number one, right? If someone is going to go ahead and do a nice post and put a cool picture up about your book and take time to write about it because they felt a certain way, the least you could do is go ahead and acknowledge that and appreciate that. Because if you're going to be doing self-publishing, that is a big part of your promotion and your exposure. And to not acknowledge that it's only going to be a disservice to yourself. So each of us have a few different people. And I feel like a lot of these people overlap, right? We've each interacted with them in different ways. But I'm just going to kick it off real quick and start with Mort Stone from My Indie Muse. And Mort is he's a reviewer on the website My Indie Muse, which I would strongly recommend you guys check out. If you're a reader, you're going to see a lot of different reviews on all different horror material. They also have a crime section on the website and humor. And I believe they're going to branch out into other genres as well. But for the time being, it seems like sort of the granddaddy on the website is horror. And that's what they're focused on, which is great for us, right? And Mort, I'll give you an example. I met Mort, I first became aware of Mort when he read Die Tommy. He gave it 4 stars. You know, he's always very honest with his reviews. He'll tell you exactly what he likes. And, you know, I noticed that, like, did you want to say something, Roland?
No. I'm just thinking about something. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I noticed that after the review went up, I was like, holy shit, dude. There's like 100 likes on this review on Goodreads. And then just like 30 comments or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about in like a few hours. So it sort of opened my eyes and made me realize, you know, wow, these people, some of these people that are reviewing and putting up on, you know, he puts it on not only Goodreads, but My Indie Muse and then usually Amazon too. I mean, he's given you exposure by taking the time to read your book. And then, of course, I saw this and I'm like, you know, if he'd have just reviewed the book in general, and I would have been grateful. But to see all that additional traction that came with it, I was just really fucking happy, you know? Like, damn, he got me some fucking big exposure. Yeah. And so, sort of reading that, then he wanted to read other things. And, you know, it got to a point where for my last book, Wedding Day Massacre, before I released it, I sent it to him to read in advance and give me any, like, last-minute typos, you know, that I might have missed or if he had certain feedback about stuff. And he was willing to do that for me. And You know, he was excited to do it. You know, he was, and I think, I don't know. I just think building relationships like that is something that, if you're starting to release self-published work, it's going to help you, you know? So I want to just give a huge thanks, to Mort Stone. And I don't know if I have a couple of other quick ones, but I don't know if you guys want to say anything about Mort or if you guys have had experience with him.
Actually,
yeah, I have.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Everybody jumped off. Saying, go, Mort.
We love you, Mort.
We love you, Mort.
He reached out to me this morning. He read and reviewed Unborstion a while back. And that's the only one he's reviewed for me so far. But I can tell you just from I've talked to him back and forth via Goodreads. And he actually reached out this morning just to say hi. So not only is he an excellent reviewer, but he just seems like a great person all around. I didn't know he was from, if I'm not mistaken, he lives in Africa, South Africa.
Yep, South Africa.
Yeah. So we were comparing potholes because he said he comes from the land of potholes. And I was like, nah, Houston, Texas has some horrible potholes.
Did you say potholes or potholes?
Potholes.
Come on.
So, I told him Houston has some terrible potholes. And he actually sent me pictures of ones from South Africa. With, like, people sitting in them, like, they're bathing in them or fishing in them. I was like, oh, yeah, I got the speed. So, no, I've talked to him a few times, and he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, absolutely. He messaged me earlier, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but same thing, just to kind of reach out and say what's up. And he offered to beta read my for Talia, which will be my newest book coming out. Just an all-around nice guy. He's done reviews for me for Billy Silver and Awakened in Blood. So, yeah, I can't say enough great things. And like Aaron said, like when his shit goes up on Goodreads, like people listen. You know, there's a lot of likes. There's a lot of comments. Yeah. He's definitely a person to pay attention to.
Well, I'd say
because he is a fair and honest reviewer. I will say that.
Yeah, he won't blow smoke up your ass. But I'll say that also. No. Like, it's because he's a writer. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell, like, his reviews, he's a writer. You know what I mean? Like, and that's something that I think he wants to do too in his heart. But maybe it's just not right in the cards right now and things are too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But you can just tell by the way he phrases things and his reviews are eloquent and they're well thought out. And he often inserts themes into them. So I just think... what he's doing, going out of his way to try and help people that he believes in, is really fucking cool, and he definitely deserves that acknowledgement. So, thank you, Mort.
Yeah.
He reviewed my Slaughterbox not too long ago, and it went up on Goodreads and stuff too. So, I haven't talked to him a whole lot personally and stuff, but I remember commenting on and sharing that his review just had me cracking up. I don't remember what it was off the top of my head that made me laugh so hard. He puts a lot of effort in like comedy and stuff into his reviews sometimes, man. It was awesome.
Actually, I was going to see if you guys will let me read like the first part of his review on Unborstion, and I was cracking up. It was
oh,
so
go
funny.
For it, brother. Yeah.
Take my glasses off. He said, okay, so here's the plan. Number one, we turn this story into a script. Number two, we send it to every single place which produces any kind of birth control. Number three, we get a gazillion bucks to make this movie. Number four, we sell it to every school in the world in a campaign called This Is Why You Should Have Safe Sex. Number five, we make a good trillion bucks more. Number six, we retire. It was just so such a great review.
That's definitely a more review.
That's awesome, man.
And the great thing is, guys, so like as you guys start releasing your own books or maybe you have released your own books, if you get a review by someone like Mort, not only are you're getting that exposure of, you know, the likes that you're going to see pile up in the comments. And in those comments, there's a bunch of other people saying, I'm fucking going to read this shit. You know what I mean? Because recommended it more and you went out of your way to write this great review about it. And then you'll see, I've gone and I've seen people that have left a comment saying that I'm going to read it. Then that person leaves their review. Thankfully, they ended up liking it too. And this person was nearly as prolific a reviewer as Mort. And the same amount of likes and the same amount of comments appear on it. So this should be, you know, you step back and you look at that and you say, wow, this is spreading now. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he's kind of around other people that are only going to help promote that material as well. And it's all for free, guys. So you really do, you know, you get a review like that where you see those likes and comments, you really do need to reach out and try to make sure you show your gratitude if possible.
Yep, definitely.
Just a couple others I wanted to mention before I kind of pass it off. I guess I'll pass it to Carver next. But I wanted to mention Madeline Rose likes to read on Instagram. She's I believe a Canadian book reviewer, and she has put up a few different books of mine. I think she's read 3 different books, and just somebody else that, you know, is not, they're not doing it like almost like it's like a business almost, you know. For more, I think it's just a true passion. She loves to read. She likes to share what she reads, and she'll do like cool pictures. Like I think she put like Wedding Day Massacre in like a purple light, and she was just like, oh, I love this book. You know what I mean? Nice. Like I fucking loved this book. And as a result, multiple other people, like I saw multiple other people gunning on the book. And, you know, I just want to say thank you, Madeline. And everybody check out Madeline Rose Likes to Read on Instagram. And then, I mean, what an honor at Carla's Corner. That's Carla K-A-R-L-A-S. And the corner is K-O-R-N-E-R. I mean, they made their wedding announcement with fucking Wedding Day Massacre. And their rings next to it. I mean,
yeah, I saw that. That was amazing.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's great too. And like she did a huge thing for me too. Like she took a picture from the interior of the slab and like put blood all over it, and then another picture of the cover. Like she really takes time and thought into her reviews, and as a result, other people say, holy shit, she put a lot of time into this, and like the things she's saying sound fucking awesome. Of course they go and buy the book and they like it just as much, because a lot of these folks have similar taste in their circles, you know. Yeah. But I mean, to be included in somebody's wedding announcement for a fucking book about mass murder at a wedding, how fucking cool is that, dude?
That's badass.
I can die now, I think, you know.
Absolutely, that was a great.
So, just to recap for me, thank you to Mort Stone, Madeline Rose Likes to Read on Instagram, and Carla's Corner on Instagram. And you know Mort Stone is on My Indie Muse and Goodreads. Check him out. Make sure to follow his reviews. And make sure to follow Madeline and Carla's pages, because not just because they're putting my stuff out, but I see them put out a bunch of other cool shit. Like Madeline just read American Psycho, which we talked about recently on the show, and just like some other cool stuff, you know. You're always seeing good stuff. I think Carla's put up some of your books too, Daniel, right?
Yeah, Carla's definitely a reader of mine, and just a really genuinely nice person, nice to correspond with. So definitely check her stuff out, and I'm very happy for her and her engagement, and hopefully her wedding goes better than that in the story.
I would fucking certainly hope so. But Carver, I'll let you take the floor now.
I'd like to mention just Andy Carroll and Brandy Carroll, his wife, Brandy. I know Roland mentioned them in the last episode. But I didn't know, like you said before, I didn't know Andy at all until he started reading my stuff and sharing my stuff. And I've gotten the good fortune to actually talk to him. We've become really good friends. Kind of like Gary that I mentioned last time, we talk often, we shoot the shit and just kind of, you know, just talk on the side and stuff like that. But he recently, so they have, not only does he has theandrewsreviews.wordpress.com is where he does a lot of his reviews at. That's his actually like his website. But he posts everything on Facebook and all of our groups and stuff like that. I know he's done a lot for you guys as well. Yeah. And he and his wife also run the Book Nerds Book Reviews group, but they also just started Horror Nerds, which is really awesome because the Book Nerds book reviews group wasn't really dedicated to horror, but they've been sharing a lot of horror stuff recently. And I think they realize that not all of the readers and stuff like that are really into horror. So they started the Horror Nerds group. And I know Brandy wasn't really into horror that much. She read Grad Night recently, my book Grad Night, and seemed to like it a lot. And I think she's starting to open her horizons a little bit to horror and stuff. I know they watch horror movies and stuff like that, but she's starting to get a little bit more into the horror books. So I thought that was pretty cool that together they opened a horror-specific nerds group, Horror Nerds. So for anybody listening, join those groups because I think Horror Nerds, I want to say, has like 200 people in it, something like that right now. Their parent group, I guess you'd call it, the Book Nerds Book Reviews, has thousands, man. I mean, that's a pretty big group. You guys are in both of those, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Horror Nerds at 200 even right
now. Have you guys gotten into the Horror Nerds one?
Yeah. And I wanted to say real quick, too, because, you know, I'm sure all of us would have said Andy, you know, in our thing, but we kind of had to divvy it up and do different people.
Yeah.
But Andy's been incredible to me and nothing but a gentleman and just a true horror fan. And then Brandy has reached out to me on multiple occasions to acquire signed paperbacks to surprise him with and kind of brighten his day. And I mean, it's just great to see somebody that appreciates your work so much that it actually has an impact on their day. Like, you know, things were kind of shitty, but now they're all right. I got this cool signed paperback and this bookmark or whatever. So they're both very, very nice people, very genuine. It's a rarity to get somebody that is just that transparent. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to both of them. And we're going to have, I'm hoping that we'll have Andy on the show down the road once we get, like I said, we get our legs a little more and then we get having some people on.
So just real quick with Andy, I just want to mention that at 12:16 a.m. this morning, Andy Carroll messaged me on Facebook about how excited he was to see that my new book Talia was coming to Godless. I sent it to Drew Stepik, the cover art with Talia licking the razor blade, and Andy, who is on the Godless hype horde. If you see him on Facebook or Instagram or anything, he's constantly out there, posting stuff for, Godless and all the other horror sites. He was so excited. He messaged me at midnight, and just how excited he was about it. And that is a true fan. Like that dude is on top of it. He is just, he's excited. He's a true fan of the genre. He not only that, but he finds Easter eggs in your books you don't even know you put in there. Because he would message me shit about my books, and he's like, oh, man, I love how you did this, and it alludes to this, 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 and that. And I'm like, nah, man, like my the character just liked black. And he's like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah, sorry. Like, dude, sorry to fucking burst your bubble.
I looked it up on Goodreads to have it ready, and I almost forgot about it, but when he reviews something on Goodreads, it's just crazy the notes that are in there, man. He pays so much attention to detail that, like, I'm excited to read his notes because I don't remember half the shit that he says that was in the book, to be honest. So, like,
he does it.
I have a character named James Bender, and he said, Bender, was that a nod to John Bender in Breakfast Club? And I'm like, you know, fucking, I'm mind blown. So I'm like, no, but
exactly.
He asked if a character with the last name Knowles was like had anything to do with Beyonce, and I was like, no, but he's spot on with about half of his notes here, man. The shit that he catches is just crazy. It's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great reader and definitely a great reviewer and a great friend, and Brandy as well. You know, Aaron said, they reach out for some signed paperbacks and just they truly appreciate what we do, and we definitely truly appreciate what they do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Brandy's actually friends with Jules, so they talk sometimes on the side too. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. I mean, it's fair to say that, like, without people like them, you know, we don't exist, you know?
No. Absolutely not.
So,
absolutely not.
I guess I'll go next.
All right, well, go ahead, Roland.
Oh, all right, unless you want to.
Because I'm a gentleman. Go ahead, have it. All right. You are a gentleman.
And a scholar.
You're a gentleman.
So I'm sure everybody knows this person. She is lovely. I mean, I talk to her daily. Candace Nola. She is the creator of Uncomfortably Dark website. And when I tell you how much work this woman puts into her reviews and her promotion of indie authors and horror authors, it is unbelievable. I don't see how she has time for life. She showed me a picture of, she has a complete board, whiteout board, dates, books, times. This is her review, a calendar with, it's insane. I've never seen this before. And not only, honestly, I'm like speechless when I talk to her. And she's, the speed at which she reads is astounding. So I have to mention Candace. And not only is she an awesome like a blogger, but she is a talented author. She has two books out. One is called Breach, and the second one is Beyond the Breach. And I've read Breach, and it's like a cosmic fantasy horror. And she's so smart that it just comes across in her storytelling. The story jumps off from page one, and it does not let up. And I think she has a new book coming out in March, or let me make sure that's right, the end of June, called Hank Finn. So I just have to pay homage to Candace and just how amazing she is with what she does for the community. And it's completely selfless. Like, she does not get paid for this at all. And for the amount of work she puts in, she should. So I know you guys know Candace, right?
Incredible, dude. Like, I'm, again, it's another person that's like probably we can each say something about, I feel like. But I think the first interaction I had with Candace was I saw like she had been posting stuff for Uncomfortably Dark, her blog, and I had posted something about The Slob, and she just reached out and said, hey, you know, I'd be more than happy to read it and do a full write-up for it. You know what I mean? Just like, hey, I just want to help. Just let me check it out, and I'll put you over, and if I like it, obviously, because she's honest with her reviews too. She's going to tell you what the deal is. But and then, I mean, recently she reached out and bought signed paperbacks and then takes it upon herself to go up. She's built up a TikTok audience that's over like 2,500. So I think maybe we can, at some point when we do like advertising, maybe we could leverage her to talk about, I know you've done some things with TikTok too, but maybe the two of you can give us some notes on that. But I mean, she just put a whole bunch of videos together of my books with music and fucking effects and just like, hey, Aaron, check this out. Like, for nothing, dude. Like, just because she wants to help, dude. Yeah. And that's, you can't beat that, man. That's she's a tremendous asset to the horror community.
Yeah, she's definitely a genuinely nice person. Like you said, she just wants to help. Like, she's just she's always putting herself out there. I always see her TikTok videos and stuff about, you know, with other people's stuff, and she just does a great job with her blog. She recently reached out to me to get a signed paperback, and she's just a fucking nice person, and I just can't say enough good things about her.
You know,
and I hope that,
you know how though, Daniel, like, that, you know, that she's just like super nice is like she literally promotes everyone else like 10 times more than herself. She's a fucking writer, dude. Like,
yeah,
as a writer, most writers are putting their shit over as much as they can. She's just promoting everybody else. Like, that's selfless.
She's the person in the crowd that says, like, I don't care who wins, I just want both teams to have fun. Yeah. And she's just fucking, she's awesome. So, definitely check her stuff out, definitely. All right, anything else on her, Roland?
I know she's also, just one last thing, I think she's also doing editing now. So, personally, me, I go to, like, Fiverr for my editors, but I know Candace, and I know Candace is hella smart. And she's going to be honest. So, Candace, I'm coming to you for all my editing.
Yo, hot scoop on Roland's new editor. And she's also surprise. Very attention to detail. So I imagine that she's going to be great at that, you know? Like, whatever she does, she goes 1,000% in. So
committed 100%, 1,000%. Yeah. So what about you, Daniel?
All right. I'm actually going to talk about two because I had another one that popped into my head while we were discussing stuff. So the first one I want to talk about is another. She's an author as well as a blogger, and that's E.B. Lunsford. She's written the opening book of a great series of Haven and Hell, and a great apocalyptic kind of zombie series. And she has her blog. I think it's just called eblunsford.com. And if you check her stuff out there, she just does great reviews, does great write-ups. I think she was the first one to do an interview on me. And it was kind of when we talked about reaching out to your peers, it was kind of one of those situations. I kind of reached out to her, and I'm like, hey, have you ever thought about doing author interviews? And she's like, yeah, I am interested. So she sent me some questions, and we got together, and we talked about some of this stuff. And it just went on from there. Another person who I corresponded with, you know, she's just – super nice. She does editing on the side also. I had her take a look at a couple short stories of mine before I submitted them to some smaller anthologies. And she's definitely a talented author. Definitely check her stuff out on she's on Amazon and eblunsford.com. Check her out. And I think it's there's no D. It's just L-U-N. Yeah,
that's Lunsford. F-O-R-D,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah. There's no D in there. Do you guys have any interactions with her?
Well, she, like Mort, is doing she's working with Indie Muse too. So, yeah, she's reviewed a couple of my books and done an interview, and she's just amazing, man. She really is. She's awesome.
Yeah, I had a great interaction with her. 100% professional. She reached out and said, hey, I've seen a lot of posts about the slob. I'm planning on checking it out. I think she had checked it out already. She said, I checked it out and I wanted to do a post for my blog. And I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. And then she's like, do you mind if I use some of the illustrations in it? You know, she just wanted to get permission to use some of the illustrations to kind of make the blog pop a little bit more. You know, it's kind of cool if there's a few pictures thrown in there. And I was like, oh yeah, no problem, you know. And I don't know, man. She was just really cool. And just she reminds me a lot of Candace, honestly. They seem very similar. They're both kind of into editing. They both are selfless and seem to promote other people more than themselves. And they both are good writers, you know?
Yeah,
totally.
The second one I want to touch on real quick is Nick Gray from Spooky Noodles. He's on YouTube. If you go under Spooky Noodles, you check him out there. He does a lot of reviews. I think that kid reads and reviews everything. I believe he was the first one to actually give me like a video review on Billy Silver. And another, just a nice guy, genuine. He's also an author. He has his short story collection, Gray Matter, is out now. A great little collection of stories. He did a really good job with that. The cover art it's really, I wish I had my copy over here, but it's in the shelf. But very trippy looking cover on Gray Matter. He is actually the owner of Splatter Inc. Publishing, which is releasing their No Anesthetic anthology later on this year. So you're going to want to check that out. But Nick does so many reviews. Same thing. He's very selfless. He always sends out like book mail to people. He's always out there helping you promote your stuff. And yeah, he's just another genuine horror fan, and his channel Spooky Noodles, he just has a lot of, I think he just hit 300 subscribers the other day, so he's I know he was offering up a giveaway, but definitely check him out if you want to hear some of his takes on some horror books.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Cool. He actually bought all of my books signed, and he had bought other ones before. And then he was like, oh, yeah, I'll buy more signed, and I'll just raffle these away because I want to promote you. That's the type of person he is. You know what I mean? Just a good person. And, you know, like you said, selfless. I think that's why we picked a lot of these people today. A lot of them are just selfless, and they go out of their way for others. And, you know, Nick's a great guy, and I think he'll have a good writing career too. You know, I look forward to seeing what other stuff he releases and what his publishing company releases too. So thank you, Nick.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got for my reviewers and bloggers. So what do you guys want to do?
Well, I think
ready to get into a mailbag.
I think it's time, and we made pretty good time. We're 45 minutes in, so we got about a half hour to dedicate to the mailbag. Let's do it.
Dip in your bag, Carver.
Sam, man, from Trick or Treat. You guys seen Trick or Treat? Tell me you've seen Trick or
Treat. Oh, I love Trick or Treat. I knew what it was.
All right.
Daniel? I've never seen it.
Really?
What? Dude. No. It's an awesome, anthology.
Give him a hard time, like y'all gave me a hard time for not seeing American Psycho. Go
ahead. Hey, fuck you, Daniel.
Yeah, fuck Daniel.
God damn it.
Fucking piece of shit.
Hang my head.
Part 2 is supposed to be on the way.
Let me put my sweet Camp Crystal Lake hat in front of my face. You can't see me.
Well, you've made amends with your Crystal Lake hat. Just a little bit, though.
Or whatever you said. That's fine. Whatever you said.
So as I said in the last episode, the new mailbag that we're doing is not, we're not just accepting email questions and then doing them in the order of appearance that they show up in our email, whatever. So we're actually putting them into the Sam from Trick or Treat, Daniel, cup, and then pulling the questions out randomly. So you never know. You might put your question in right now, and it's on the next episode. I mean, it's just a question of chance, right? So now this one, this gentleman submitted quite a few questions, so it's a little more than chance. I'm taking my glasses off for this one because, dude, I'm so sorry, man. I'm the worst at fucking names, and I'm totally going to fucking butcher it. I'm actually going to show it to the screen in case I say it wrong. But here we go. From Hendrik van der Westhuizen.
That was great.
Whatever you just
said. That was pretty fucking good, wasn't it? I'm impressed with myself. Why do you think people enjoy horror, and more specifically, extreme horror? Anyone want to take that one first?
I'll jump on it first. I think people enjoy horror just because of the same reason why people enjoy roller coasters. There's that rush of adrenaline when you read something that's truly fucked up. And I think that's probably why people like the extreme horror aspect of it, is when you open a book from an author that, especially one you're familiar with, and you know you're in for a fucking ride, it's going to be graphic, it's going to be violent, it's going to be brutal. Some of it might have some horror, humor, like in Simon McCarty's books. You know you're going to get some graphic, gross-ass shit, but there's going to be that level of humor in there that only the Aussie sicko himself can provide. So for me, I feel like people gravitate towards horror just because they like the adrenaline rush of it and just that feeling of, you know, that sickness of it. So that's my take on it.
I think also people are sick and tired of this watered-down horror they give us every day on TV. Like the Freddy Kruegers and the Michael Myers, those are, they have their market and they have their niche. You know what I'm talking about. But people are sick of seeing that kind of stuff. So I think, or reading that kind of stuff even also. So they want to read the more extreme stuff, things that are going to make them be like, what the fuck did I just read? I mean, I think that's what attracts me to it. So that's
my opinion. I agree with both of you guys. And I think I would say, like, I want people to pick up extreme horror because they don't know what's going to happen. Because there's a phrase I like to use a lot called no boundaries. You know, I like often say my writing has no boundaries. You do not know where it will go. Nothing is off limits. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's what's appealing with, if you're talking about specifically extreme horror, is the fact that, man, I really don't know where the fuck my mind is going to travel to for these next few hours while I read this story. You know what I mean? At least that's why I love it. And just horror in general, I don't know. I think there's just some people, it's like in the intro to our show, right? Clive Barker talks about people have a morbid curiosity. And some people will try to shame people for having a morbid curiosity and say it's not right. But you know what? That's human nature. And whether you're showing your morbid curiosity like a badge of honor, or it's hidden inside you. It's still there. You know, everyone has a morbid curiosity.
Yeah.
And I think people like horror and extreme horror for the same reason that I like revenge stories. Like, if you've never read a Stephen Hunter book, he's the one that wrote Shooter, the TV show and the movie and all that stuff. I love those revenge stories, and I love extreme horror, and I think a lot of people feel this way because, you know, you put in a full work week, man, a 9 to 5, and you follow the rules, and you take shit all fucking week, and there's just shit that you wish you could do that you know you will never fucking do, ever, but you can crack open a horror novel or extreme horror and just see somebody get fucked up and pay back for their sins, you know what I mean, their evil that they've put forth all week to people like you, and now it's your chance to read about it. So to me, I think that's a good reason why people like horror and extreme horror, is it's just there's stuff on that page that they know will never come true, but they can indulge in it and have a hell of a time for, you know, however many hours it takes them to get through that story.
Yeah.
So
therapeutic in ways, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, absolutely. what was the name of the question there again?
Yeah, you cut out, your audio cut out.
I didn't hear you.
The name of the gentleman that asked the question, please.
The gentleman.
Yeah. Fuck you.
One more time.
I know what you're
No, doing. No, but what's his first name? I'm sorry. I truly forgot.
Hendrik van der Westwiesen.
I do.
That's what I thought.
I will quickly give a shout out to Hendrik because I have had a few different interactions with him on Facebook. And he is a writer himself, too, who is trying to achieve his horror goals. That's why he's asking these questions. He's curious about what makes us tick. So thank you, Hendrik. Continue to pursue your dream and write that horror, man. Keep it fucked up. And we'll be here to answer
your questions.
Keep
asking us questions.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, keep asking us questions. So.
Totally.
You guys want another one?
Yes, yeah. Please.
Let's see. Oh, this is a big one. That means I'm going to have to read a lot. Take my fucking glass. Don't make fun of me. I can't see with my fucking glass. I can see you guys, but I can't see
the fucking glass. Everybody likes the big one.
Oof, this is a long one. This is from Nicholas Gray. Your boy, Nick Gray. Go. All right, Nicholas Gray, this is to all of us. I'm going to read the whole email, okay?
All right.
He said, hey, first off, I love the first episode of the podcast. I had a ton of fun tuning in and listening to you guys talk horror. Clive Barker's Hellbound Heart is an all-time favorite of mine. So I have a question. My question is, how do you guys write depraved scenes that may upset a certain demographic of people? I am currently writing a story that delves into a dark subject matter that may disturb readers. I want to know how you guys get through difficult-to-write scenes that you know are going to upset the readers. Do you ever consider what someone may think, like when someone negatively reviews your story because you killed a dog, does it upset you? Or is it not giving a fuck the key to writing an extreme horror? LOL. I know some subjects are sensitive and should be dealt with respectfully, but don't you think pushing the envelope is what horror is all about? So how do you handle the sensitive topics? Also, how do you sick individuals go to sleep at night? LOL. And by the way, I love extreme horror. I hope to one day write a really good extreme horror tale that will knock y'all's socks off. I hope all is well and you guys are having a great day. Your sick-minded friend, Nicholas Gray.
Oh, good one.
Well, thank you, Nick. Ooh. I think you will definitely write that extreme horror, man. It's going to come to you, and then you will funnel it out into the computer in front of you, and you'll get there, man. You know, if you're wondering about getting through tough scenes, I would say just remember you're writing for yourself. Me and Daniel were talking about this earlier today. You shouldn't be writing for anybody else. There's about fucking, I don't know, billions of people out in the world. How are you going to write a story that caters to every single one of the same person? You cannot. It's a futile exercise in the inane, dude. You just need to write what is from your heart. And worry about the repercussions later, because any press is good press, baby.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with you on that, Aaron. And the fact that, like you said, we talked about this in the one episode. We talked about trigger warnings. Everybody has different triggers, and some things will fucking bother people, and some things won't bother them. And like we talked about earlier, like I write for myself. I write the fucked up shit, and it's fucked up. But unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that we write is true. You know, Aaron, you do a lot of, you know, human-based reality horror. That stuff is very real, and that could definitely happen. So when I get to a graphic scene or something that could be offensive to someone else, I just, you know, it's not for them. And they might read it and give me a bad review, and that's fine. You know, it's not for everyone. You know, some of the best, highest-rated books out there, you know, like let's say Stephen King's like It. That's got one-star reviews on it. The Stand has one-star reviews on it. Any of these great books have one-star reviews because some people just don't like it. And, you know, I sleep well at night, and it doesn't bother me.
You can't please everyone, right? So just please yourself, man. Do right by you.
Yeah. Talk about pleasing yourself. Carver, you want to talk about this next?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think Nick hit it on the head when he said, is it just not giving a fuck?
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it, man. Like you guys said, you're writing for yourself. I almost, Grad Night, I almost didn't write because Grad Night is about students getting revenge on their teachers. And with so many of the school shootings and stuff, I'm not insensitive to it. It's not that I don't understand what's going on, but this was a story that I had that needed to be told. And I have been a teacher and I have dealt with certain kinds of students and stuff. And I just felt like, fuck it, fuck them. I'm gonna write the story. It may never get published by a big publishing house because of the context, what's going on in the story. But it's the story that I wanted to tell. So, like you said, Nick, just fuck it and write what you got to write, man. Write the story that needs to be told.
Yeah.
Roland, what do you think about it, man?
No, it was hard to write on abortion. I just had the scenes that were most graphic and. That in itself is a terrible subject to even like a lot of people, but I was writing certain scenes and I thought to myself, maybe I should change this up or lighten this up a bit. But as I was writing it, I was like, fuck that. This is my story. I'm writing it the way I want to write it. And I pushed through and I wrote it and it was uncomfortable writing it. Actually, it was just weird for me to think about how it was going to be received by people, even my family. We talked about that last episode. Like, I was worried about what my family was going to think. And I probably still am a little bit. But, again, this is my damn story. And yeah. I wanted to write it that way. And I say, fuck all everybody. So,
yeah. I hope all you motherfuckers get abortions.
Well, at the end of the day, right, it's fucking fiction, man. It's fiction. Yeah. Your family should still love you. If you write a messed up fiction story, I shouldn't have a bearing on it. But I just think it's funny in the day and age that we live in that literally our limbs can somehow be controlled by the thoughts of what others might think. It's just a bizarre alien thought to me. I'm not about it. I'll never be about it. I may go down in a blaze of glory at some point, but I'll go down the way I wanted to.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. We have time for another one?
Yeah, we could probably do a couple more.
These are fun. All right.
Maybe, I think probably two more and then we should be good.
All right, let's see. I think this might be our boy Hendrick again. Oh, no. This is Michael Mueller of us.
So nice. Yeah.
Great guy.
All right.
Yeah,
your glasses are coming off. Hey, gentlemen, great show. I would like to know how you all, as individuals, budget your time between writing, reading, family, work, etc. Thanks. Keep up the awesome work. Mike Mueller.
All right. Well, I'll start if you guys want.
Okay.
Well, like I said before, you know, like I have a full-time job. Just, you know, like Roland and I both, we have full-time jobs. I know you guys are kind of doing the writing thing and part-time jobs. So I do all most of my writing in the morning. Unfortunately, I'm not too current on TV. Like I don't watch a lot of TV. You know, my wife and I watch a show here or there at night, but that's pretty much it. When I have free time, I read. So reading consumes a lot of my time. If you check me out on Goodreads, you'll see what I'm reading and what I have read. So I try to balance it out with that. You know, at night I'll read some. You know, I'm getting ready to go to bed, maybe a chapter or two here or there. But writing is usually done in the mornings and on the weekends, maybe sometimes very late at night. But that's how I kind of budget it out there. Not a lot of TV.
And I don't really have a life. So I don't have any of my family here. Like, for me, it's work and my partner and then home. So I should have more time to write. But then I get home in the afternoons after work and I'm exhausted or just don't want to look at the computer. So for me, we talked about it earlier, I do most of my writing at work. And then, but I'm going to actually be better with that. You know, you guys inspire me to set some time aside for myself to focus on my story and get my next book out. So that's how I manage my time.
That's awesome, dude. I like that we can inspire each other. I hope that continues. Yes. But I will say, for me, it's kind of random as far as the writing. I try to do it as much as I can. But it's a strange balance because my whole life, I've never not had a full-time job. So this is a very bizarre time for me, but it's fucking awesome because I just get to really create my own schedule. And like, right now I'm working on the Yellow Payback package, which is like a promotion I'm going to do for this, you know, based off the success of that book with some different features for people. So there'll be times where I have to kind of try and focus on the advertising side of things and making sure my sales maintain, and then customer interactions. And also, you know, I don't like to say customer. I like to say reader or, you know, my friends, because pretty much everyone I interact with, I'm cool with. And Michael included, he's done a number of awesome reviews for me and shared my work. So thank you, Michael. And I try to make time for, I mean, me and my wife, we usually like to go nature trails a lot on Saturdays or just get near the water. Just kind of get out, you know, especially during this whole COVID shit. So the weekends is sort of my family time, I think. And then in the evenings, we're just kind of chilling. Maybe we'll play video games once in a while, watch TV, shit like that.
And I know that now that I am actually working part-time and writing and stuff from home, it's a little bit easier to manage. But in the past, I made big mistakes with this where I would work all day, write all night, write in the mornings. Like I made no time for anybody. I was very much like no set schedule. I just wrote, did something book world all the time. So if there's something I can stress right now to anybody is you need to try and figure out a time. And in like the cases of Roland and Daniel and stuff like that, you guys work your asses off and it's not easy to do, but you do have to find a time that you turn it all off and you just call an end to the day. If you don't, you will start to go crazy. You will start to burn out and it'll get to you after a while. Mm-hmm. Right now with my current schedule, it's a little easier to handle, but like I would say around 5 p.m., I make sure I'm done with my day job stuff. I'm done with writing. I don't do anything after 5 p.m. Now I might check my phone from time to time, but I pretty much turn it off from 5 p.m. and I do get some TV time in and stuff like that. And then on the weekends, I really try not to touch it. Like I've spent so much time, man, and so much over the different pen names and stuff. I have really spent way too much time and effort into stuff that didn't need to be taken care of right then. And sometimes you have to realize that it can wait. Like your social media life and your author friend world and that kind of stuff is not going to disappear. Now it will if you don't keep up with it, but it's not going to disappear tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like there's always going to be a chance to pick it up and get back to somebody. So even if it's just a short voicemail saying, like, hey, man, I got your message. I will get back to you tomorrow, but I'm with family right now. Can't take care of it right now. That should be enough, you know what I mean? So I think that's really important for people to remember, too, is you have to shut it off at some point or you will burn out and you will go crazy. It's happened to me a couple times. So
it's a great point.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, one more last question for this episode.
All right, let's see here. All right. This is from our boy Hendrick. I'm just going with Hendrick. Should horror be synonymous with unhappy endings? Do you prefer happy or unhappy endings in horror?
I'll go first. I prefer unhappy. Because as you guys know, you probably know why, you could deduce it. I am a more reality-based horror writer, a very human horror writer. And I think that more often than not in life, it's an unhappy ending. It's as simple as that for me. But
for me, with my writing, they tend to have an unhappy ending, but some of them, depending on who you are in the story, could be happy. I kind of like to keep people guessing. You know, I don't want to have the George R. R. Martin books where everybody fucking dies, but I do like to have sometimes where you're guessing. You know, and I think that's kind of one of the reasons why I gravitated towards Stephen King, especially his earlier stuff, because there were books where people would fucking die, and spoiler alert, in Cujo, in the book, the fucking kid dies, and it is a horrific ending. Like, you're like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe you just killed, after a couple hundred pages of them trying to escape this, you kill the kid. So for my writing in particular, I kind of let the story dictate it, and some of them you're going to see have happy endings. Some of them are kind of like a, you know, a vague ending, and some of them are just downright like, fuck, that was a shitty, horrific, you know, violent ending. So, yeah, it can go either way.
And I should say, Daniel, I prefer unhappy endings personally, but as far, I guess, if I'm answering it from a writer's perspective, like, you would never know reading my books how it's going to go. Some of them will be like a melancholic ending. Some of them will be like, oh, the person you were rooting for made it out, but then like something horrible happens to them, you know, that they sort of have to live with, you know? So like, is it really a happy ending? So, you know, it could be a variety of things, but I tend to personally like the fucked up ending that is a bad, like a sad ending, because it's more realistic to me, you know, at least my life.
Well, in like in Yellow, without spoiling the ending, like I thought Yellow had a fucked up ending, but it was a happy ending. It was a happy fucked up ending.
That's what I thought.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like I read it and I got to the end and I'm like, damn, I'm like, that was really fucked up, but there was no other way you could have ended it. And it was just, it was happily fucked up, I guess you'd say. It was a great ending. So.
Thanks, man.
For me, okay. Do I prefer happy or sad? I don't know. I guess I prefer a unhappy ending in my horror. But at the same time, when you read a book and it's horror all throughout, and you get to the end and there's some unexpected, crazy happy ending, I think you leave the reader like, oh fuck, that was different. Yeah. And I think that you know, that it doesn't happen too often in horror. Not that I've read. Most of the stuff that I've read had fucked up endings. So when it does happen that way, people are pleasantly surprised.
See, I think the story definitely dictates it. I mean, I kind of do both back and forth. A lot of times what I'll do is, you know, sometimes I'll have a happy-ish ending, kind of like what Aaron was saying. And then something will happen that leaves you thinking, kind of like the old Friday the 13th and shit like that. You know, there's always that last scene that you're like, fuck, is there a sequel? I like to do that sometimes.
Is there 15 more sequels?
I gotta say, as a reader, I tend to like the unhappy endings because I kind of get annoyed sometimes. There are certain authors that every book is going to be a happy ending, and you know that going in. And those authors I tend to not read as much because I don't really want there to always be an explanation, a flowery ending. And this is my author bio, and it kind of comes back to this to me is when I was a kid, I would watch Scooby-Doo. I'm sure we all did, a certain version of Scooby-Doo. And it used to piss me off to no end that every fucking time they would just rip the mask off and it was like the fucking maintenance guy or the guy that like mowed the lawns and shit. I'm like, why isn't there a fucking ghost? Like, why can't there just be a fucking ghost that's like butchering people? Like, why does there have to be a fucking happy ending? I don't want to know that you pulled 8 masks off and it was Henry the fucking chef. You know what I mean? I want to know that it was just, I don't know, fucking Jason Voorhees, man. Sometimes people are just fucking sick and they kill people and I'm okay with that. I don't always want it to be dumbed down.
I think with the Scooby-Doo thing, though, it might have been because it's a kid's show.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck that.
Like, fuck them kids.
Fuck it. Kids need to learn how to take a fall.
I want a murdering ghost.
Send them babies to Roland's house.
You know, like 5, I was like, really? This is what we get? This is what we're going with? Fucking aerobics instructor? No.
All right, well, incredible Some excellent questions. There's still more on tap, but unfortunately we are out of time for this week. We've crammed about all we can into this episode. There's a lag on the video and Carver looks extremely disturbing, like just rattling shit off right now. This is incredible. But we will be back in 2 weeks with another episode. And Roland, I know you had a book in mind that we might need to discuss. There's some exorcist shit going on over there, dude.
Don't hold me back. Think that I will be discussing The House by Edward Lee, which has the pig and the house in it. So I think that will be my book for discussion next week.
Nice.
In 2 weeks. Next episode. Next episode. What I'm talking about.
Listen, if Roland says it, you guys listen, all right? So... You even got a chance to get a jump on the fucking book this time. So you can go ahead and check it out if you guys want in advance. We do want to go ahead and plug our information. But as we said, we're going to be recognizing one reader each episode. I'm going to go ahead and do the honors for this one, if you guys don't mind, if there's no objections.
No, go ahead.
Yes, please.
I want to go ahead and give a big thank you to Michael James, great horror reader and participant in the horror community. All the kid does is support horror and share stuff. And he's reached out to me on a number of occasions. You know, he goes to conventions, the whole nine yards, you know. And I really just want to say, you know, thanks to him for reading essentially all my work. And also, I had a conversation with him because, you know, I don't want to put him on blast, but I'm sure he don't mind me sharing that he is aspiring to potentially write something. He's sort of trying to figure out what he wants to do. And actually, the conversation I had with him inspired the concept for last episode, the Can I Write episode. So, Michael, I do hope you continue to pursue. Hopefully, you'll continue to listen to the show and... we can help out however we can. And we just want to thank you more than anything, though, for being a great supporter of the horror community.
Absolutely. Yeah, Mike's a good guy.
Yeah.
Definitely a supporter.
So, and I'm Aaron Beauregard. You can find my shit on Amazon and Godless. You can hit me up if you want a signed paperback. I got, you know, I usually do little different package deals with, like, magnets with the artwork of my books and stuff. Bookmarks, all kinds of cool stuff. So just holler at me if you guys are interested.
Awesome. I'll go next. My name is Roland Bursey. Always hit me up on Facebook. I'm always willing to chat with anybody. So if you ever want to say hi, send me a message. You can find my stuff at RolandBurseyJr.com, also on Amazon and Godless and Barnes & Noble.
All right, Daniel Volpe, Daniel J. Volpe online. Find me on Facebook, Instagram. Instagram is DJ Volpe Author. All my shit's on Amazon. I got ebooks on Godless. And just before I go off, just one more time, I just want to just plug our book of the week, our girl of the week here, author Elizabeth Bedlam. Check her out. Hello, old friend. Then you got Scrape, another great one, and then her collection that I read, Puss and Lust. Check her shit out. Also, she's on Amazon as well. Carver, take us home. Play us out.
All right, I'm going. You can find my
Is your demonic possession done? I'm sorry.
Am I nagging again? What?
You're fine.
I'm just kidding.
You can find me at CarverPike.com and all the social media sites as Carver Pike. My stuff is also on Godless and it's starting to go wide, so you'll find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Kobo and all those places. And like Aaron said, if you want a signed paperback, you can get in touch with me. I'm very active on Facebook, so just hit me up with a direct message and we'll set that up.
Awesome. Great job with the mailbag, Carver. And thanks, Daniel, for the book of the week. And until next time, everyone, keep it 100% horror.